Welcome back to Renegade Muscle. I am Jeff Roberts, and I'm here, as always, with Lee Priest. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the 90s versus today, the whole sort of then versus now argument that
Don't
Lee is so passionate
Don't
about.
Do it.
Oh, we're going to do
gonna,
it.
You're going to upset and, people.
We also want to get into some listener questions, obviously. We have some good ones. Actually, I took them from the episode 3 post because we never really got to them. We never really, there was some really good ones out there.
You went off on a tangent.
I did. I basically botched the whole show last show because I ranted about the
Don't start.
All the bullshit that's going on. No, I won't start. I won't start. Don't even give me a taste.
I'm like your pre-workout's out of your system. Is it? You're okay. You're all right to go.
I'm like a shark smelling blood when it comes
to that. You've taken no methamphetamines before this episode today.
No, I quit because of last episode. And then if there's time, I do want to get into you living with Paul Dillette a little bit more. We've mentioned it a little bit, but
no,
with some more detail.
Paul lived with me. He came to live with me.
Oh, that's right. He lived with the white man.
Hey.
Actually, what do you think about that? About the 90s versus today? You think the guys were in better condition back in the day, huh?
Well, I think they were better condition, yes, when you look at the photos and stuff, and then you got people say, we've heard the argument, well, photos were different. Well, if that's the case, people should look better today, because today the cameras and the megapixels and all this sort of shit you have on cameras was better than the cameras they had back then. Look at the cameras we used in the 90s compared to now. So pictures should be now. I can't say, it was the lighting, it was the cameras that made us look better back then, because they were shittier cameras then compared to now. Look at, did we even have phone cameras back then? No, not really. It's just all digital cameras that Chris Lund would use. So, you know, but I think there was two back then. I think it looked better because when you saw the Olympia lineup or any pro lineup back then, some guys, yes, are in great shape today. But back then, I think just the depth was more, you know, whereas now you might have a pro show where 2-3 guys maybe are in fantastic condition, then the rest get a bit softer and bloated. Whereas back then, a lot of those pro shows, the top 10 were like all in fantastic condition. So the depth was a lot deeper. So I think it made it, you know, look a bit different. But back then too, it's like, yes, guys train hard today. But if we bring up the phone issue, people get upset with that too, because we'll focus back then and did shit. Whereas now people are more interested in taking photos, documenting their workout, which is great. But do it at the end of your fucking workout. Don't do it while you're training, because like I said, if you go to check music, you're going to check your messages, you're going to look at the messages, and then your mind's not in it anymore. So pick another sport. This is what gets me mad when they go, well, Lee, I do it to change music and I do it for this. Yeah, but you look at the messages. Can you ever been, you've been to a boxing gym, have you?
Me?
Yeah. Just say you have.
Not really. I mean, I watched Creed today, so.
Well, there you go. Well, when you see Creed sparring in practice and they do a 3-minute round, when he's in between rounds, does he check his phone? No.
No.
When tennis players are in between sets on the tennis, do they check their phones? No. No other sport do fucking idiots check their fucking phones while they're training hard and focused on something. It's fucking bullshit. So all these bodybuilders that come up with excuses, I need it for my social media, that's fine. Record whatever you got to record at the end of your fucking workout. You don't need it on you. There's music in the gym. We were fucking inspired to go to the gym because we loved to train and we wanted to get better. My workout didn't depend on what fucking song was playing in my head or in the gym, because it was just background noise. I like these ones that wear their big fucking earmuffs in the gym and they've got a fucking training partner and they've got the fucking music blaring. It's like, how can you hear training partner go one more? You'd be like, what? What?
Yeah, I hate that.
What? It's like, fucking hell, how fucking rude. That's like cunts wearing sunglasses inside. You can't see their eyes when you're talking to them. So having headphones on, be like, are you ignoring me, you prick? So, yeah, it's just, I think the depth was better. I think this day, you know, because of the insulin and stuff and guys fucking bulking up. What was it, Rami before the last Olympia? He looked okay, didn't he? Or was it last Olympia, whatever show he did, like 2 or 3 weeks out, could have been the Arnold. He looked great. He was fucking he was all drawn in and shit. Like, wow, he's going to look good. He was hard. Because he's got all the size he needs. If you go in harder, you're going to look bigger. But come the day before the show, there's photos of him. It's like you're fucking just carbon up too much or eating too much fucking food. And Yeah. They don't have that crisp, dry, hard look. That's why when someone comes in like Ahmad or whatever and they're so shredded, or that Patrick Moore, people are like, wow, look at his conditioning, because it stands out so much because the others are fucking bloated.
Yeah. I think they're trying to come in so much bigger now that they are blurring those – they're blurring that like separation that you guys had. Because if you compare Flex Lewis the last time he won with Lee – and Flex Lewis was his best the last time he won. It's like Flex Lewis has better conditioning from like the rear, but from the front, I feel like you would have way more separation.
Well, he had good conditioning at the 2013 Mr. Universe.
Yeah, you did.
That's the first time I worried about my glutes at the universe, because I was competing against other people. And people used to say to me, Lee, when you did the IPB shows, your glutes were soft. They weren't soft. They were hard, like a square, but they weren't styrated. Because, like I said, I got into bodybuilding. I'd see a guy's arms like Eddie Robinson. I want fucking arms like that. I want legs like Tom Platz. Not once did I say, man, I want a fucking ass like that guy, because my posing trunks covered my ass. I wasn't pulling them up my ass. To me, it wasn't a fucking muscle part. And then they go, well, Lee, your glutes are soft. Okay, let's say my glutes are soft. But what about all my other body parts that are more ripped than them? Because he's got ripped glutes, then he fucking beats me. It's like, yeah, we know who's judging them shows.
We talked about that back in the day. I interviewed Troy Ells, and he could never get – his glutes were never shredded. And we talked about that. And I quoted you saying that, like, you got into bodybuilding looking at, like, Robbie Robinson's arms and Tom Platz's legs. You never looked at someone's – nobody does, right? No dude gets into bodybuilding and says, man, look at that shredded ass. That's what I want, you know. But it's become a thing where – and it's a genetic thing too, which is the biggest bummer about it. It's like, just because someone has a more shredded ass than another guy doesn't mean they're necessarily in better condition. No. You could just have it genetically – because, like, from you guys from the front, you at your best and Flex at his best – you have way more going on through the chest, arms, midsection. You like way more like splintering of muscle fibers and separation and stuff. It's just his like glutes and hamstrings that are dug out like cement. A lot of the rest of them is not super detailed like that. It's lean, but it's not.
Remember Tommy Faunson back in the day? He used to have a shredded ass, like fucking lines through his ass, front on, and face was like that. So even, you know, someone does Renelle Genevieve back in the day, he had a shredded ass. And the thing with Renelle Genevieve was he was one of the first to have all those real separate styrations. And, you know, he was good all over. But then I remember he did one show and he was still shredded, but his ass wasn't a shred. And everyone's like, oh, look at him, he's not in condition. I'm like, the guy's still fucking ripped, but because his ass wasn't as ripped, oh, he's not in condition. I'm like, fuck off, isn't he in condition? He's still shredded just because he hasn't got every little line in his ass this time. It's like...
Right. Flex is like that.
Yeah. When did the Flex emphasis just become so much on the ass? It's like, fucking hell.
Yeah. Flex has... I mean, I'm sure that Flex, at some point during the year, has a bloated face and shredded ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, just by looking at... I mean, he's one of those types... He's one of those guys, you know? But I heard Seth Ferosi talk about how he thinks it might be a water thing, where back in the 90s, water might be completely shunned for days at a time before a show, where nowadays people keep their, like, guys keep their water in, like they're drinking a little bit of water up to the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily not drinking any water. So,
It's like I said, though. It's like you walk around the street, you're going to wear a tight T-shirt, show the guns, a sleeveless top. You're going to wear shorts to show your calves. You're going to wear shorter shorts to show your great quads and hammies. What bodybuilders walking around in fucking arseless chaps showing their fucking glutes? And if you are, you got fucking issues. So to me, the arse was never a big fucking, you know, it's one, from the back you get, show your glutes, but then you got the rear bicep, rear lat spread. Also, too, I've seen guys that have a ripped ass, but they've got no fucking calves or hemis. So it's like side on, the hemis don't hang down. They've got a ripped ass. So, and then from the front, they've got no good double bicep or front lat spread. They're like, oh, my God, he's so great. His ass was shredded. Well, what about the other fucking 10 or 11 poses, for fuck's sake?
Yeah, it's true. It was a different kind of conditioning. It's a little bit weird because I don't think Kevin had super shredded glutes either.
No, they were tight. But, they were tight, but not shredded.
Yeah. Yeah. But then other parts of him were like, were ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if the guys, do you think that, like Kevin, for example, do you think that Kevin at his best would have beat Phil Heath? Or do you think you prefer it more? But do you think actually on stage that Kevin would have beat Phil when Phil was,
I think so.
11,
I think,
12, 13?
It's always hard to compare because you see them side by side because they both have their great points. So
the way that it's judged I feel like the glute and hamstring Kevin. Thing would be,
I prefer
a, would
Kevin's
be an issue.
Physique. But in the beginning, though, when Kevin turned pro, his first couple of years of pro, remember how big Kevin's quads and hamstrings were? They used to hang down after he won the nationals and shit. He was massive and his delts and stuff. Whereas, it's hard to say because Phil has that, you know, rounded delts, whereas Kevin's were round, but they were more also square as well. And when he stood front on with his arms down, Kevin had the triceps that come out like fucking diamonds, whereas Phil's are still there, but they're more rounded look, whereas Kevin was more sort of fucking
square,
hard chisel look. Yeah, so I said it'd be a good contest to see, but it's always hard to compare. But, you know, they both have their strong points, so it'd be interesting.
But I think that Kevin did have a more like – Phil has that very bubbly type muscle, and Kevin had that more like – he was more granite looking than Phil. But at the same time, you have Phil looks is like fuller and almost like puffier looking, but at the same time has way harder glutes and hams than Kevin does. Well, but Kevin has that like you said, through his delts and chest, Phil doesn't have that. I think the guys now don't have the same sort of detail, even though they're shredded and they have no body fat. A lot of them is like even Brandon Curry. Like Brandon Curry's not loaded with detail. He's just, but he's shredded. It's not like there's fat on him, but he's not detailed.
But the thing is, too, a lot of them, too, like back in the old days when you'd see myself or Dorian or someone, even just standing there, they look like they were chiseled and cut out of stone, whereas guys now standing there look cut, and it isn't until they actually hit a pose they sort of get hard. And even when they hit a pose, like you said, they are cut and hard, but yet there just still seems to be that fine layer of water or something under there, like a little bit spongy, whereas before guys just look dry, whereas if you move someone's skin, it was like cling wrap. You could see all the muscle and sinew underneath. It looked like their skin was see-through, whereas now it looks like they've still got a bit of water under there where they're not as – well, you just look at their faces. Everyone back in the 90s, like this.
Yeah.
You just look at their face. And generally, the guy whose face was sunken in and in clothes, he looks small. You're like – as soon as he took his clothes off, you're like, holy fucking hell, you know. So generally, the guys who have got the fatter face and look big in clothes are still too soft when they take their clothes off. And – that's why I tell them, I said, on stage, it's such an illusion. If you were to lose 10 extra pounds, which someone like Rami could do or some of these big guys could do, you lose 10 extra pounds and come in shredded, you're going to look 20 pounds bigger on stage. It's like, that's such an illusion up there, but they don't seem to get it in their head. It's like, who gives a fuck if you're 300 or 280 or 290? Who gives a fuck? Who cares if you're squatting 6-7 plates? When you're on stage posing, none of that shit matters what weight you lift or what weight you are. So,
do you remember when Jay Cutler... when Jay won in 09, like potentially his best look, when he showed up at the press conference and the way – I remember I just got out of class. I was in college, and I was walking out of one of the – I just had like a – I don't know what class it was, but – and I remember seeing the –
Class
seeing like
of
84. Update. No.
Class of 84. That was a movie, wasn't it?
Class of 84.
Yeah, I think it's about these gangs in the school and the teacher fucked them up. It was a good movie.
I wasn't even born in 84.
I was. I was.
You were young.
I was like 11. No, 84. I would have been 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 12. Almost 12. Yeah.
But Jay showed up that year, and his face was like, he looked like a different person. His face was so much more gaunt than it had ever been, and it was probably his. I don't know what his face looked like in 2001. I don't know. But from that point on, I mean, you saw Jay always showed up with like a full. Healthy looking face. And that one year he showed up and he was like, and sure enough, he was the best he's ever looked. And Rami too, like you said, Rami would, all those years that Rami showed up at the Olympia and he wasn't lean enough, his face was full every single year. And the one year that it wasn't was when he worked with Chris and he was in good condition, but he was severely flat.
It's a fine line. You can just increase a little bit to fill out, but I think these guys are going too hard filling out when they – doing the insulin or whatever and just pumping too much food in them, because generally how a lot of them look now, I've said it before, where how do guys, I'd rather go in maybe a little bit flatter, prejudging it, yeah, at nighttime you can fill out a bit, that way you don't spill over. But these guys, how they look on contest day now, that's how I looked maybe if the show was on Saturday, that's how I looked maybe the following Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when you're doing a photo shoot, because you're eating all the shit you want, you're filling out, you're still hard, you still got some veins and abs and shit, but because you got so much food, your stomach's pushed out a bit, your face has got a little bit puffier. So they're sort of looking how we looked a couple of days after the show. Now, that's why I see so many guys put up their pictures. You're like, Ruli used to do it. Rami did it last time. You see him 2 or 3 weeks out, you're like, fuck me, dead, he's going to win the show. And then the day of the show comes, you're like, what did you do? What fucking stupid hocus pocus did you fucking go concoction? Did you go? Because people have to understand, when you're dieting a certain way over a long period of time, 12, 16 weeks, you're eating food at the same time, you're using the same drugs, you're eating, drinking, this and that. So your body becomes used to that. So you get in great shape. That's why all my photo shoots I did were 2 weeks before contests and stuff. And then this last week, all of a sudden, you change drugs, you add more insulin, you start adding different foods. Your body goes, whoa, hold on, and goes into shock. And then it's like hit and miss. Yeah, you might time it right and look great, or you're going to spill over and look like shit. So if you're looking great a week or two out, don't fucking change anything. Maybe lower your water the last week, start lowering your water, put your tan on and just fucking pump up. That's what you got to do.
Right.
But their coaches go, oh, no, we've got to do this, and you better take this and then add this in. Yeah, how are you looking? Okay, we'll take a bit more. You know, how much carbs you've been eating for the last 16 weeks, 200 grams? Well, every meal I want you to eat 600 grams now. It's like, oh, fucking hell. You don't think your body's going to react to that sort of shit, changing it?
Right. I think Chad Nichols said that's what happened with Rami at the Arnold. He said he went to carb him up, and he was, I think I heard he said he was shocked at how quickly Rami carved up for such a big guy. Look, he instantly overcarbed. Yeah. Like way quicker than I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it probably does have a lot to do with it. The whole last second, like fullness protocol.
The magicness of those last couple of days.
Yeah. Where did you place in 98 when Ronnie won the first time? Were you fifth or sixth?
No, I was seventh that year. And it's funny, that's when I had the crew cut, the flat top. And everyone said I was so hard. Like, everyone said that was the heaviest I ever was, I think.
You were big.
218 at that Olympic, or something like that. But everyone said I was in great condition. But after that show, I had a judge come up to me, and they're like, Lee, you look fantastic, but next year I want you to come in harder. And I looked at him and said, what do you want, fucking rigor mortis? I'm like, what the fuck do you – yeah, that was their comment. I'm like, really? So if anyone looks at the 98 Olympia, it's like, yeah, okay. It's like, I was just as hard as fucking anyone up there. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I remember your legs were huge. Your legs were huge.
Well, I think that was the year that I did a couple of articles in MD talking about the politics. So Lee got marked down a bit.
Well, there you go. I remember seeing you next to Sean and Chris Cormier. I remember you were like significant. You look significantly bigger than Chris Cormier. You were shorter, obviously, but as far as like the thickness and muscle, you were huge. But I'd like to see you go against William Bonac, because he's a monster too, and about
back
the same
in the
height,
day, yeah.
Same height.
Well, it'd be good. Imagine if, like I said, if I was back then, now it would be a great show. It'd be like good shows would be like me, Flex Lewis, William Bonac, and that sort of thing, where you got guys who are shorter but yet carry that mass. Good.
David Henry. David Henry was always great.
Yeah, David was always good. Yeah, Dave was good. Even back in the day, you had Vince Comerford. He was a good short guy with
definitely.
And there's a couple more. There's been a few around, but you know, you can even go back to the AAU, Victor Terra.
Victor Terra. I'm not familiar with Victor Terra.
When you look at Padilla back in the day, though, he had some thickness on for a short guy and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of his pictures you see of him today, where he's just got those deep cuts, he'd fucking win the 212s today in some shows.
There are some pictures of him that are crazy.
I know his arms. There's a double bicep where he's standing there in shorts, and his legs are fucking deep cuts. His calves are fucking sticking out. His biceps and shit. Yeah. So, to me, I think he looked better than Franco, really.
Right. I think he did too. Franco was he was good, but I think as
Franco
a
was like Franco was like big chest and back, and he was dense, but yet Padilla had the waist and everything else. It just flowed better. So
yeah, much more pleasing. Like
mm-hmm.
Franco Colombo was more like a rugged.
He looked type more like a builder. He looked more like a powerlifter that dieted down to compete in the bodybuilding show.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of what he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people get really bent out of shape about the 90s versus today thing. And I think a lot of it is, I think a lot of it is just a preference. Like some people, I mean, you might, to compare like Kevin or Flex to Phil, it's like a different, I don't mm-hmm. know. It's hard to say one is better and one is worse.
The thing is, too, you got to remember, let's just say Phil Heath came in like Dorian. Like Phil Heath comes in looking fantastic, don't get me wrong, but yet, remember, Dorian just had that real grainy look?
Yeah.
So really, if you're competing against Brandon Curry or someone and that's the best, then really, if you're just comparing yourself to that, well, you know, when Dorian was competing, everyone had to up their game. When Ronnie come in shredded, everyone like, fuck, now we've got to up our game and come in a lot harder. So really, you've only got to come in the same as that top guy without, you know, because I remember Flex used to say sometimes that, you know, if this is, you know, such and such is winning or if I can win a show at 90%, he goes, why should I kill myself and go 100% and really fucking, you know, kill myself if you don't have to? If you know that you can win on that, then if no one's there, better. But that's the thing, though. You don't know because you might come in thinking, okay, I won looking like this, such and such, and then say the other competitor, say, got fourth. You're like, okay, say Rami. So people go, well, Rami's big, but he never comes in shredded. So you don't come in shredded. But just say Rami that year comes in fucking shredded, and you go, oh, fuck. So, you know, when people used to show me pictures of guys, they'd be like, Lee, you're going to be competing against this guy. Look at him. You can beat him easy. I said, yeah, but that was a year ago. A lot can happen in a year. He might have worked out how to get his shit together. So you can't compare him on last year because this year, if in your mind you're seeing last year's physique, you get backstage and all of a sudden you go, oh, fucking hell, I underestimated that. So that's why I never worried about how anyone else looked. I knew that if I was going into a show like when I did the NABBA Universe, I never competed in NABBA. Coming from IFBB, I thought, fuck, Lee, if you don't do good in this, you can imagine the keyboard warriors. Ha-ha, you suck, couldn't win NABBA, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so I figured, yeah.
You know what? Sure. I'm not going to play a size game with some of these big guys in NABBA, like the Europeans are fucking big. So I figured I'm just going to go for conditioning. So that's the best way to go. And same as when I won the San Francisco and I was 199, Chris was 260 and I got second. People thought I was 235 on stage by the way I look. So you just got to come in the best you can be. Don't worry about anybody else who's doing a fucking show. Just focus on yourself and just come in, you know, as hard as you can be, you know?
Yeah. Have you seen another good short guy was obviously Lee Labrada. Have you seen his son recently?
Yeah. He's actually put a bit of size on. He's looking good.
He's crazy. He looks when I first became aware of him, watching him in like the amateur ranks and stuff, like he was good, but not really, standout. But now he's posting pictures and I'm like, holy shit, guy looks crazy. And
before he looked like when he started, it looked almost like a physique close to classic competitor. Like, you know, he had a nice frame like Lee did, the symmetry and nice muscle tone. But now all of a sudden you're like, fuck, now he looks like a legitimate big bodybuilder.
He's a beast. Yeah, he's good.
And that's from Labrada. That's from Labrada products, by the way.
Yeah, obviously. It's from those RTDs, Lean Body.
I remember them. They used to. I remember when Labrada brought out that chocolate. Remember the fat-free chocolate and ice cream? If you ate too much of it, you'd fucking shit because of the fucking whatever sugars are in it. Fucking hell.
Sugar alcohol shit, yeah.
Oh, you got shit for it at Ivan Edel if you ate a whole fucking chocolate bar. Everyone was eating them at the expo when they first come out and fuck me dead. You go into the toilets. It looked like someone had been throwing fucking meat pies in the toilet. Fucking hell. It was a mess.
A lot of that stuff is, oof.
He brought out a brownie mix. Remember, he brought out brownie mixes. Same shit was in that. I made this big batch of brownies. I ate the whole thing. I had the worst fucking stomach pain and cramps in my life. Mm-hmm. And man, when I went to the toilet, poof, it came out looking like the brownies that went in. You know, it's fucking, maybe a little bit of extra corn in it, but fucking hell, like.
Yeah.
It was bad.
All right. You ready for some listener questions?
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott McNally here, and we're gonna jump to a quick commercial break. So I promise that I'll be brief with this. So this week, we have 5 podcasts coming out. Between the new improved drugs and stuff, we have our Road to North Americans. Of course, Ron and Dusty are back. And then we have Dr. Scott Stevenson laying down some sick knowledge about HIIT training. And we have our new show, Renegade Muscle, with the one and only Lee Priest, along with Jeff Roberts. You know, I'm recording every single one of these programs. I do all the editing, the art, the MP3, the YouTube. And it takes a lot of time. I'm not complaining because this is definitely a labor of love. I'm living my best life through this. But the only way I can make that work is by somehow getting paid in the process. And that's where our advertisers come in. So guys, if you enjoy the shows, then I encourage you to shop with our advertisers, because I've put these advertisers together with our programs because I believe in them, A, and B, because they're companies that make sense, you know, for us. TrueNutrition.com has some of the greatest supplements that are out there for some fantastic prices. I absolutely believe in them. And they basically carry everything that a bodybuilder could use, from health supplements to performance supplements and a lot more. They have basically every protein under the sun, every flavor that you could think of. They have it all for reasonable prices. So check them out, TrueNutrition.com, and you could use our code ADVICES. And then you could check out GetAzoth.com, where we also have a link to their Amazon. Both of those, you can use the code ADVICES10, and they have some of the best nootropics that are available out on the market. If you're looking to like up your edge in life, those things can definitely help. They're fun to experiment, and it's fun to see, you know, like basically just, well, I use them with my podcasting, and I definitely know that I've gotten an edge. So you can get an edge anywhere, be it in work or the gym or a long road trip, whatever it may be. But like I said, I've paired with the advertisers that I believe in, and advertisers that make sense to us. So if you enjoy our programming and that these are the types of products that you would buy anyway, then please consider shopping with our sponsors and using our codes, because that allows me to continue to put these podcasts out. All right, guys, thanks for listening to me. I appreciate it. We've got links in the show notes. Let's get back to the program.
All right, you ready for some listener questions?
Sure. When you said there's some good ones, does that mean good as in good or good as in funny?
I would say good as in good.
Oh.
I don't know if there's funny ones. Let's see. Did we do the craziest thing you ever saw backstage one?
No, I don't think so.
Lee has a pretty good memory. I banked on you remembering.
I can tell. We might have on time ago. You might remember if I tell you. The craziest thing was when I was amateur backstage. And you know how people take diuretics or have enemas with those suppositories and shit. I walked backstage once at an amateur show in Australia, and in this little room, there was a guy and his mate. Let me tell you, he was a good mate. He had a funnel and he's pouring warm coffee up his ass, giving him a coffee enema.
Jesus.
So I'm like, do you want some milk and sugar? Fucking jump around and fucking, yeah. So he was pouring the coffee up his asshole, giving himself a coffee enema so it would like flatten his stomach out.
That's it, huh? Have you seen anyone, you ever seen like fights or anything like that, or people?
Yeah, Kamali and Titus would always go at it. They'd be like, at one show, Craig was backstage with Kamali. I can't remember which one it was. And Craig had Oreo cookies and he just asked if he'd want some cookies. I'm like, I'll take one. And then he looks over at King, goes, do you want one? At the same time, King was taking his shirt off. And he said, do you want a cookie? And so he took his shirt off. He goes, oh, fuck, no, you better not eat one. You've missed your fucking peak. So King got all fucking angry. Then a week later at another show, and he's like, how you going, King? Did you get your peak right today? And he took his shirt off. He goes, nah, you fucked it up again. And then that's why on stage they're always pushing each other and shit. I've never seen any like fist fights and that, but no.
Yeah.
You'd see people come off stage and grab the oxygen.
Right.
After their posing routine.
Yeah. Lee, you came down from 280. You probably didn't need any oxygen.
No, it's fine. They actually hated me backstage, some people, because I'd always joke around and laugh. And they're like, Lee, why don't you take this serious? I'm like, what's to take serious? If you're in shape, you're in shape. Once you get on stage and do your pose, and you know, they fucking judge it out there. What, you think if you fucking laugh backstage, you're going to fucking smooth out, go catabolic?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Who gives a fuck?
The opposite, probably. It's probably good to stay loose, yeah.
And I pump so up serious. A lot, too. Some guys only pump up for a couple of minutes because I was so bored backstage. It was always the running joke that I was having a workout because I'd pump up for 30 minutes. You know, the more pumping up I did, the harder I got. So I'd just find the corner, be doing push-ups, chin-ups, towel pulls, bar, you know, stuff like that. Right. So I just fill in time doing that. People are like, Lee, are you fucking still going? What are you doing over there?
Let's see.
I just hated laying around. You get the guys who just lay on their back with their feet up. I'm like, fuck it, if I did that, I'd go to sleep. So I had to keep moving.
That was from Jaden Berry. Jaden Y. Berry. This one is from The Atomic Beast.
If you say Jaden Berry, it sounds like a town like Mayberry.
It does. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say originally. What did a typical leg day look like for Lee?
Depending on the weather, sometimes sunny, sometimes rainy. It's just depending on the day outside. Is that what you mean? Oh, you mean the workout. You meant the workout, not the day itself. Well,
yeah, I remember the workout you did on Battle for the Olympia 2005. We had you had the Mustang, the white car.
Oh, yeah.
Or was it a Ford?
5% shit. Ford Mustang, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Supercharged, yeah, 720 horsepower.
Nice. You did a crazy volume that workout.
Yeah.
And you actually never did the show, unfortunately.
No, I figured, why do it? Fuck it. That's when they wanted you to sign a bigger contract where they owned your image. They could use your image for anything. They could use your image for advertising once you signed it over to them. Those saints. I'm like, fuck that. Why would I give you all those rights for it? It's like, I've qualified to do the show. Just let me do the show. I should just have to sign the contract saying, I, Lee Priest, agree to do the fucking show, blah, blah, blah. Not sign over 5 pages of images, this and that and shit. So I'm like, fuck that. No.
Yeah.
So I didn't. Yeah, that was, all my leg workouts have been different. You know, I prefer high volume, but then I've done the heavy stuff, lower weights, and then I've done the crazy stuff with Tom Platz where you go to failure, then he'll make you do negatives and force reps and stuff. But, you know, legs are one of those body parts where, you know, don't get set in stone that you got to do squats, you got to do this, people got to do squats first, then I got to do leg press, and then I got to do this, and then extensions. I've done extensions first, leg press second, and I've done squats third. I've actually been stronger, whether just that they're warmed up more or whatever, but
yeah.
I've actually been stronger doing my squats last. So don't get set in stone. Your legs can take so much punishment that just pick some exercises and do them. Doesn't matter what order. Go to failure some days. Some days don't go to failure. Some days do force reps. Some days don't. Some days do, like we used to do on the leg press, we'd start with 3 plates, just do lots of warm up, put 4 plates on, and we'd do 40 reps. Next set, put another plate on, 5 plates each side, we'd do 50 reps. 6 plates, 60 reps. So every time we added a plate, we kept going up in reps. So just do stuff like that. Or if you want to start like that, then start coming down, you know, the drop sets. If you've got like 7 plates on the leg press, do like 50 reps, rip one off each side, do another, you know, fucking 30 reps, rip another one off, do another 20 reps, and just keep fucking going down. So legs, there's so many variations you can do on them. But the main thing people overlook, though, is their hemis. Everyone, quads, 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 this and that, or they might do their hamstrings after quads, which really, if he's going 100% on quads, you're not doing hamstrings justice doing them after, because, you know, you're doing squats, you're doing this, you get the hamstrings, you go, that's it. That's why you see guys with great quads, but their hamstrings are lacking. So I prefer to do hamstrings over, if you do quads in the morning, do hamstrings at night, or just do them on a different day altogether, because if you're going to do quads first, there's no way you're going to do your hamstrings justice at all. Or sometimes I'd actually do if I did do them together, I'd do the hamstrings first, because that would be a good warm-up for your quad. And then when you come to do quads, trust me, you know your quad's doing all the work, because normally when your legs are, your hammies are helping a bit, you know, when you're squatting and leg pressing. Trust me, if you're fatigued your hammies first, you'll notice it when you go to work your quads, because there ain't no play coming from your hammies.
Yeah. I know that when you do, like, when you squat, It's a great idea to like train hammies after squatting or doing quads, but then you squat and then it's like, oh, time to do RDLs, and you do like one set and your legs are shaking and you're fucked.
Your quad's still burning when you're doing leg curls. Your quad's burning more. Mm-hmm. Like it sucks. So
yeah. I know that in that Battle for the Olympia, you did leg presses, and I think you did 4 plates for 100 reps and then 6 plates for 60, I think. Something like that. You did just crazy high reps on leg press. But I know you did 100 reps with, I believe you did 100 reps with 4, and then you put I think you might have done 6 for 60 and 8 for 40 or something. It was insane because you were nursing an injury, and so you didn't want to go super heavy. I mean, you still went kind of heavy, but you didn't kill her tons of reps.
I was training at the Golds in Texas then, wasn't I? Yes.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I had a NASCAR hat on. I remember.
Yeah. You're wearing a white shirt. You're huge. Yep. You were huge then, too. Because it was a little while out.
With my friend Richard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a torn tricep, I think.
Oh, the good old days. I think it was my elbow or something I did. I just, hurt my elbow doing something. You know, a tendon. Yeah, well, it wasn't torn, but I think I was training with Richard, a friend of mine. Yeah. I used to have a funny video, actually, when I was doing lunges. I have to find it. We used to do lunges at the other Golds where it had Hester's Crossing. They had a big aerobics room, wooden floor. And we'd do lunges with one plate up and down. And then at the end, when I put it on the ground, I'd roll it really fast and then just jump on the floor. And the fucking weight would just pull me across the floor. So the weights are rolling. I'm hanging under the bar, being dragged across the floor by this weight. It looks so funny. People are sitting outside the room going, what the fuck's he doing? As the bar's dragging me along the ground.
Right. You did those. At what point did you squat heavy the whole, like, up until like those years, like up until the 2000s, or did you kind of like stop putting tons of weight on your back at some point?
I think the heaviest I would go would be 5.
Yeah.
I'd rather just stick around 3 or 4 and do 20 reps, 25 reps. And on a good day, if I went to 5 plates, even sometimes on 5, we might do 20. But yeah, I didn't really feel the need to go over 5 plates anymore because, you know, if you're squeezing 5 plates, that's enough you really need for quads and shit. So,
yeah. Yeah, you did those one-legged Smith machine squats a lot too.
With my leg back a bit, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, or on a bench even sometimes. I think you may have done it. Yeah, those were a common Lee Priest leg exercise.
They're the ones Steve Blackman said to work your glutes. you put your leg back a bit, and so you're sort of doing the squat on the Smith machine on the angle like that. You're going down on the angle, so it hits your glutes.
Right. There's another video out there of you puking training legs, I think. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go outside and puke?
Or maybe that was my training partner, yeah. My friend Russ, the ball guy, we're doing legs and doing the high rep shit, like really high reps in. That's when I was in Arizona, Scottsdale, and he said he doesn't feel when he went outside and he's fucking hurling.
You were supersetting, I think, squats and leg press or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was something. And we're going heavy on it. And he just said, I don't feel good. And then he fucking. Bleh.
Yeah, that's a good video. I don't know how you would find that, but that's a good video.
Yeah. Google Lee Priest friend vomiting or just Lee Priest vomit. Then you'll find it.
Yeah, you will.
It all somehow joins in when you put in words.
Rafael Santoa.
Oh, from the IFBB.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Lee, I banned you.
Is bodybuilding killing bodybuilders? That's his question. Thought that was a good question.
No.
Yeah.
Because you got to look at it. The amount of people that do bodybuilding and fitness around the world. Yeah, we hear of people that die because... But who's to say they wouldn't have died anyway? I don't follow other sports, but I'm sure if I followed rock climbing, there's probably a couple of deaths every year from rock climbing. I'm sure all extreme sports have deaths. And you have to remember, whether you're a rock climber, hey, kitty, rock climber.
I know, just
whatever you do, there's going to be deaths in all sports, especially sports that are extreme where you're pushing your body to the max. I'm sure there's runners that run marathons that just drop dead of heart attacks. But, you know, people are human. You're going to get problems. Who's to say, okay, with bodybuilding, some people take drugs, but then there's been plenty of guys that have done bodybuilding, used steroids and lived in their 80s, 90s. So maybe these people have predispositions already where they might have problems with cholesterol, heart, liver, whatever, ahead of time. Right. And maybe, okay, abusing the drugs might speed up what was going to happen naturally anyway. But I wouldn't say bodybuilding is killing bodybuilders, no.
Yeah, I think it's a unique situation where people who... Either people who are reckless get into the sport and do really reckless things with what they're taking, or people who suck at the sport think that they can be good at the sport by doing a bunch of reckless things. And I think it's kind of unique in that sense. I don't think that people who play football are not – if you suck, you suck kind of. People don't jab a bunch of Trent in themselves to make themselves like be a better running back necessarily.
And it's I think a lot of it's genetics, because I know guys, trust me, that fuck me dead. You talk about abuse, it add luck, they'll be taking 5 grams or more a week of all different shit, but they go on great. But then I've got friends that might use 400 milligrams of test a week with something else, and they've got fucking problems, and they're going to the hospital, they got this, they got that. So I think everyone's just different, what your body can get used to. How many times do you see, there was a guy, he had a TV show, fit as anything, he's in his 40s, ate healthy, did a TV show talking about healthy meals, training, out jogging 45, drops dead of a heart attack. And then you see the bastards that do drugs, drink and smoke and lived at her 80 or 90. Look at Keith Richards and people like that who have done plenty of drugs and he's still fucking going. Somebody else would do the same amount of, someone else would do the amount of drugs they did and go, bleh, and overdose. So I think everyone's got different tolerance levels, combine that with genetic makeup and everything else. So just a combination, you know. And if you go overboard and you got this and that, you know, it's just like the perfect storm waiting to happen.
Yeah. Like I know personally, if I wanted to be 250 pounds with abs, I could probably accomplish it. But the things I have to do to accomplish it would definitely drastically shorten my life, if not kill me in the process. Because I know for me, I know enough now after kind of doing it for so long that I just would not be able to tolerate any of the stuff it would take to do that. Where you were 280 pounds with virtually nothing.
Just food,
you know?
When I used to get to 280, I was never on gear those offices. I just ate it's heaps of food, drank plenty of milk. And people used to say to me all the time, Lee, okay, you use those small amounts. Imagine if you took a large amount. And I'm the same way. I said, well, imagine if I did take a large amount. It's like when Rich Piana tried to do that, add so many pounds in 30 days. I said, look, that might be great to do and put on that much weight. But let's just say in that 30 or 60 days you've done that, you've just taken fucking 10 years off your life. You've done some irreversible damage that you can't fucking go back on. And to me, winning a trophy and shit was never worth that. So if I could get by using small amounts and still look good, still be competitive, I didn't want to go fucking abusive and abuse it, because, like I said, I could do some irreversible damage. And you go, well, Lee, you won a couple of extra shows, but, you know, you've taken 10 years off your life. I'd rather have the 10 years of life than fucking win the shows. So.
Yeah. Who was it? I think Ron Partlow on It's Just Bodybuilding. On check their show out. It's my favorite show. It's on this channel. But
what is it?
He What's talked it about. It's called It's Just Bodybuilding. It's Ron Partlow and Dusty Hanshaw. But Ron talked about in the mutant days being he was with Rich Piana at an expo, and Rich wanted to be big and full for the expo, and he said Rich took 100 units of insulin. I'm not sure what kind of insulin it was. And just started like eating like cupcakes and fucking whatever. And it's like Rich died young, but you can't say that bodybuilding killed Rich. Like he was doing shit like that. Like that's not a normal thing that bodybuilders do. It's like not necessarily, you know, anyone can be reckless doing anything. You can't really blame the, it's like saying that guns kill people almost.
Ron Partlow, I've never heard the name. I know his brother, David Partlow. Do you know him?
No.
Partlow and Partlow.
I get it.
Dusty, I used to see Dusty a fair bit, actually, when I was living in Scottsdale, Arizona. He used to train in Gold's Gym out there.
Yeah. He's a beast. So strong. It's crazy.
Is he still doing his heavy stuff, is he? Or?
Yeah, he is. He's kind of doing like, I don't know if it's a last hurrah, but he's like pushing really hard to get his body weight up right now, and then he's going to compete again. But I know he's getting towards
the end of his career. What do you mean get his body weight up? He's always fucking heavy anyway.
I know. He's trying to get to like an all-time high of like, I don't know, probably 320 or something. He's a big boy.
Well, he's pretty smart. I hope he just does it safely and stays healthy.
It sounds like those guys are pretty reasonable. It's funny because you got to – you were 285, and you seem like it didn't bother you. And
if
you take someone like Jordan Peters, got to like 300 pounds at one point working with Milos, and he talks about it on It's Just Bodybuilding, and he talks about how it nearly killed him. Like he would lay in bed up near 300 pounds and have have panic attacks and think he was dying and have horrible. He said he had bad anxiety about his next meal, and he was running tons of insulin, tons of gear. And then you do it like it's just to show the difference in talent is so.
Yeah, I did. I did no gear, just ate tons of fucking food, ate plenty of shit food and that. And the first time I ever hit 255, 260, for about a month or so, I was a little bit out of breath. But then every year I did it. The 285, I could go walk around all day. I remember one time at Universal Studios. You've been to Universal in California?
No, I haven't. I've never been to California.
I was like 270. And you go from the top lot down to the bottom lot with these escalators. They go down this way, then down that way, down this way, down that way, all the way down to the bottom where the rides are. But this one time I was with Kathy. I'm like, hop on my back. I'll do the stairs. I was only going to do the first lot of stairs. It's probably like 100, then another 100, then 50, then another 100. There's like five different flights. So she gets on my back. I'm charging up the stairs at 270. I get to the top. Everyone on the escalator, go, man, go. You can do it. Get to the top. I'm like, fucking hell, can't quit now. So I got to go all fucking way to the – that's the only time I felt like I was going to have a heart attack, because everyone on the escalator, because I'm going up the stairs, they're still on the escalator pretty much right beside me. So I've got this cheering squad. Worst part was she's on my back. My lower back's fucking burning. My legs are burning. I'm sucking air like this. Now the lungs are burning. I finally get to the top. Yeah, mate, you did it. I'm like, you know, when you're really out of breath, like you've done a heavy set of squats, but you're trying not to show the pain, and you're just like,
yeah,
thank you. And you're trying to breathe at the same time. High five.
Yeah.
I'm like, get these cunts away from me. I need to breathe. They're probably thinking, wow, you've done that pretty good. As soon as they weren't looking.
That's a lot. And it's not like Kathy wasn't like a tiny girl either. She probably weighed
100 feet. I was going to stop. I was only going for the first stop. And they all, you can do it, like that movie. You can do it. Get to the top. I'm like, oh, fucking hell. I can't quit now. I've got to prove I'm fucking strong. I think I was wearing a Superman because I had a Superman ride there. So I had the Superman shirt on. Well, fuck. Well, you can't quit now. That's where I could have actually, the first time I felt like I could have actually just laid down and died.
Speaking of Superman,
if you ever Google Universal Hollywood, just see if you can find the stairs there and the escalators. You'll see how many flights of stairs are going up. I was like, fuck.
Maybe Scott can put that in at some point. I doubt it, though.
I'd be on there somewhere.
Yeah. I have to tell him.
It was a dumb idea, trust me, because you know when you just think it's like when you're driving somewhere and you think, oh, the road's going on, then you get over the hill and you see the fucking road going on again. That's what it's like. I get to the top of one flight and I look up, oh, fuck, there's another flight. Get to the top, look to the left, oh, fuck, another flight of stairs. I'm thinking, it didn't seem this long when I came down on the fucking escalator.
Let's see. So you don't think that bodybuilding is killing bodybuilders? I don't think so either.
No, I think idiots and idiot things people do is what's probably killing it. And then you can probably say some bodybuilders are killing themselves, because if you're in this sport, I've always said, if you're in this sport and you bulk up, you take drugs, some do recreational drugs, if you're eating high-fat foods, you need to go at least get your blood checked and get all your shit checked at least once a year. I did mine every 6 months because I do it contest time off-season. So you can compare your cholesterol even and this and that. So if you are in the sport, I'd recommend go see a good doctor, get your blood work done, get your heart checked at least once a year. That way, if anything is coming up, you can catch it before it happens. Not be that idiot that goes, well, if I don't know, it can't hurt me. Yes, it can hurt you. So be smart. Just be smart.
Did you ever have any blood work result during your career that you weren't like totally happy with?
No, occasionally, the only thing that was really bad, I wouldn't say really bad, but would go up a few points was my cholesterol, because I've been eating fucking all the shit food, known to man. What'd you eat yesterday before this blood test, Lee? Oh, Kentucky and bacon and shit. So, maybe
chocolate.
It's a little high.
That's not a bad trade.
But then too, even with the kidneys or whatever, sometimes your readings would be high, but I'd see a sports doctor, but that would be a normal level. Say like, let's just pick a number, say 80 for a normal person is where different levels are meant to be in the liver. Say mine's 300. Well, if I went to a normal doctor, the normal doctor might be like, oh shit, you're 300. That's really high. You got problems. But I used to see Dr. Kerr, who was a sports doctor. And he said, because anyone that trains heavy, you're breaking the muscle down and shit, your enzymes are always going to be higher. And sports doctors know that. Whereas a normal doctor starts freaking out going, oh, fuck me dead. Yeah. It is crazy type number. But Yeah, normally athletes who do hard work on their body, their enzyme, I mean, the levels in their liver and kidneys that are always going to be higher.
Yeah, it happens to all of us, really.
Yeah, so my normal was around the 200-300 mark. If it went any higher than that, 400, 500, 600, 800, then I know I'd be doing something wrong. But yeah, but if you saw a normal doctor, he'd be like, "Ooh, that's a bit high."
Yeah, and how many? If you take a regular doctor, how many of their patients are going to have, are going to be even close to your workout capacity? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they don't ever see people who are anything like a bodybuilder. So they see that, like you said, they see that result and they're like, "Oh God." Then you try to tell them, you're like, "Well, I did train 2 days ago. I did this and that. And I was sore for four," and they don't want to hear it.
Well, it's that one time I got really sick because I wasn't drinking enough and it was really hot. I was training, I was sweating a lot and breaking the muscle down. And it's, what's it, your creatinine level or your creatin level or whatever.
Creatinine,
and that comes out of, you know, when your muscle's under trauma and your muscle's breaking down, it releases that into the bloodstream. Because I wasn't drinking enough water, my blood was thickening up and they were all in panic stages. And I think my level went up near 2,000. And the doctor's like, "My God," he's like, "How did you get your level this high?" I said, "Oh, I was just training." He goes, "And that's good for you?" I said, "Why?" He goes, "Normally when someone's level is this high, it's normally from like a car accident. You know, when someone's been involved in a car accident and they're boom, you know, that blunt force trauma hits the body, the muscle releases all that into the system." He goes, "Normally we see it in victims like that." He goes, "And you do this for fun and it's that high?" I said, "Oh yeah, maybe I should just drink a bit more."
You probably just did 6 plates on the leg press for 80 or something. This is a good one. This is my favorite question. Yeah, something else to add?
No.
Dom Hitchin asked, all-time favorite animal.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to put it why. I know, that's just what I thought. How do you choose?
I don't know. I've got 6 cats, and I love them, and my cats are like dogs. They come up and jump up and cuddle me around the neck. And I like horses. I used to ride horses when I was younger. You didn't know that, did I? I was in a horse club and won ribbons on horses.
Really?
So yeah, I was in called the Pony Club. Yes, I used to get ribbons for riding a horse. Used to do the dressage and the carters, and you'd have to do figure eights and go around barrel things.
But did you wear eyeliner?
No, I used to wear the joppers, you know, the tight pants and the vest and a tie and the riding hat. Oh,
how old are you? What are we talking here? Like 15?
12, 13, 14.
So you're already jacked. Essentially.
Yeah. Well, not as jacked as the horse. But then it's hard to say because I like all animals. Then you have koala bears and kangaroos are nice too. So you can't really pick your favorite animal. Hard. People think you're going to say a gorilla because it's nice and big and strong and stuff like that. But no, I don't know because it's weird. There's so many cute animals out there of all different species. I couldn't really just pick one. It's hard to...
And then there's the ones that are cool, like there's plenty of insects like that are so cool.
What about a sloth?
Yeah, giant. You ever seen a sloth like not in a tree, like walking on a bare surface? It's horrifying. Like, it looks like a horror movie. It's crazy.
Claws coming towards you. I couldn't not pick one. Yeah, it's like you couldn't pick a favorite animal.
Mine would probably be, I don't know, maybe.
A gerbil.
No, definitely not a gerbil. I heard you like
ferrets. Even ferrets are good, aren't they? That you see like pet ferrets and shit. But sometimes you see people that have them and they fucking bite them. I'm like, shit.
I'm always afraid to get bit by those sort of pets, like guinea pigs and gerbils and hamsters.
You know what I love too? I think because of Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, with Rocket on there, but I love fucking raccoons. I've seen people that have pet raccoons. They look pretty fucking cool.
My dad had a pet raccoon.
Fucking eyes looking around.
Apparently I've they're seen really people, smart too.
Yeah, even videos. I've seen people with pet foxes. Have you seen them? The way they laugh and cry and... Rah, 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 rah. It's like, that would be really good. Yes, I couldn't really... I couldn't put just one down as a favorite. So what was yours? Your cat?
I don't know. Probably some sort of cat or some sort of fish, I would say.
Why not? Because even like a go to cats, like I love lions, I love tigers, I love the leopard or puma. Anything in the cat family like that, I couldn't pick one. And then if you go to bigger animals, fucking elephants are great too because they're just so big and shit. Or or a rhinoceros or a fucking hippopotamus, and them fuckers kill more people than anything, those fucking hippopotamus. Imagine getting eaten by a hippopotamus. You seen the fucking teeth on them things? Imagine that thing clamping down on you.
That's a bad day, yeah. If I had to say my all-time favorite animal, fuck. I don't know. I feel like this would be easier for someone who doesn't really like animals.
Go for a lion standing up there on Pride Rock.
If I went for a cat, it'd probably be a jaguar.
Yeah. That's cool. A black jaguar? What's
I'm colorblind.
What's the difference between a black jaguar and a panther? Are they similar or are they different?
I think
apart from the spelling, what's different?
I think a panther is just a type of jaguar, maybe.
Is it?
Because I know the jaguar has like a lot of different. There's so many different terms for. Because you have panther, puma, cougar. I don't know what the difference is, or if they're even that different, or if they're just different names for the same thing. I honestly don't know.
Cougars, you can tell because they've got more, fucking big lips and big fucking breasts and fucking skins all fucking hanging off them. And
they're the best, really.
Fake blonde hair. I'm sure someone will let us know. You dickheads, don't you know the fucking difference? Don't you watch Tarzan and Jungle Book? Oh, that's the one I forgot to. I do love bears, those big fucking black bears and brown bears. Oh, they're a good animal. Fuck, they're big when they stand up on their back legs.
It says black panthers are actually jaguars or leopards.
Oh, well.
If you look closely enough.
Oh, yeah, how close do I got to get the fucking look?
Or have a bright light, you can see spots amongst the dark fur. There's never been a confirmed documented case of a...
Let us go out into the jungle, Jeff, and go, come on, we've got to get really close to see if this is a jaguar or a leopard or a panther. How close do we need to get before it attacks us, before we can tell what it is? As it's ripping my head apart. Yeah, Jeff, I think it's a fucking jaguar.
If you get close enough with your iPhone.
Yeah,
that's what it is, though. Apparently it's just a black jaguar. I wonder if it's better at sports than the regular jaguar.
Oh,
probably. But the ones that eat
BJM, BJM.
Yeah, it's true. The ones
black
that
jaguars matter.
The ones that eat the caimans, like the ones that eat the alligators, are never the black ones. I've seen. They're always the regular looking ones.
I saw a good video. Cool. I saw this good video where a caiman went to grab one, it fucking latched onto the fucker, and he just pulled it out the water.
It's crazy.
That thing's probably going, what the fuck? This isn't meant to happen.
Yeah. Any cat that preys on alligators, I think that's got to be my favorite animal.
Or it's the fucking retard of the family and just doesn't know better. Told you to stay away from the water, son.
I try to think of what yours would be. I don't know. Cat, maybe. Or a koala bear.
Koalas are too sleepy. They look cute and stuff, but they just sleep all day because the eucalyptus drugs them out. But nah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really have one because I love dogs too. Dogs are good if you got a good dog. And right. There's so many animals in the wild that I love. So it's like too hard. But I do love the big bears. When you watch those documentaries of the big bears in Alaska and shit, mm-hmm. and they're down by the river, or even a polar bear. I love them. But then I like different types of fish. I love watching the orca killer whales in the Arctic and shit and stuff.
Orca would be high on the list. They're probably top five.
Orcas. You ever watch that movie? You ever watch that movie, Orca the Killer Whale?
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. It's very good. It's an older movie, but it's almost like Jaws. These fishermen capture this orca whale and they string it up on the boat. And when it's up there, the baby falls out and it dies and they throw it back in the water. And the father orca looks up and sees him. So he starts stalking the boat the whole time and killing them off one by one.
Ooh.
The old actor Ron Harris is in it. He's like the main guy. And then it gets him out on the ice and it's stalking him under the ice and stuff. Yeah, it's called Orca the Killer Whale. Check it out.
Huh. That sounds good. I saw today at the grocery store there was a magazine.
Let me guess. Some bread.
I did see bread.
Before we go on, I want to mention this too. Now you mentioned grocery store before you go on. My mum went to the grocery store yesterday and I had a friend go to another one close by, Coles and Woolworths. They're out of toilet paper again because they said a second wave of COVID could be coming. So yeah. Now they're fucking out of toilet paper. And on the news this morning down in Melbourne, they've had to limit people back to one fucking packet of toilet paper.
Nice.
Fucking hell. So what'd you see at the grocery store apart from milk and eggs and bread and cereal and
you should be careful talking about fake waves because I might go on a tangent. There's a second wave, but there wasn't a first one. I don't know how that happens.
Did you see my video on Instagram I did of the second wave?
No. I'll go watch it after that.
It's hard to see. I actually had COVID-19 here and I went and then I wrote COVID-19 here and that was the second wave.
Second wave, yeah. Imagine opening things up more so you can test more people than calling it a second wave.
What did you see at the grocery store?
But you talked about Jaws. There was this cool like magazine. I don't know what it was. It was Time Magazine, I think, or National Geographic. Mm-hmm. But it was a special edition just about Jaws, like all the details of making the movie. I almost bought it, but I don't really need.
I used to do school projects on sharks. I used to love sharks. I used to watch movies all the time. I think it's like Carcharias. What's that? A great white. We're going to need a bigger boat. Why don't you come down here and chum some of this shit? That was a great movie, wasn't it?
It was. I love that movie.
I'd love, if they ever did remake that, I'd love them to remake it, but with another mechanical shark, because look how real that one looked back then. Imagine the mechanics cool. say, because you've had what, Deep Blue now and all these other shows where they got the digital sharks. Some look okay, but imagine if they could make another mechanical one like that, fucking remake Jaws. That would be great, wouldn't it?
That thing was cool. Yeah. I love that movie.
What's his name was young in that, wasn't he? Fucking Richard Dreyfuss. When you see him in that and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, compared to how he looks now,
was he the one who
the scientists that come in to help him with the glasses on?
What was his name? Quint.
No, Quint was the boat owner.
Oh, the older guy.
Yeah, Quint owned the boat. Then you had Chief Brody, played by Roy Schreider. He was a good actor, Roy Schreider.
What was the other guy's name in the movie? The expert.
Yeah, well, that was Richard Dreyfuss' character. I can't remember his name, though. I'm trying to remember, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Remember when they caught that tiger shark and they cut its stomach open and they pulled out the number plate and it was 007? You're like, what have you been eating? Because remember, that was around the same time The Spy Who Loved Me come out and James Bond had the car that would go underwater. So they pulled the number plate out and it was 007.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's good trivia. Yep. Yeah, all the townspeople think that's the shark. And the dude was like, it's a tiger shark.
We're opening the beaches. We're opening the beaches. And then he's like, smile, you son of a bitch.
Let's see. It would be a good remake, though, if they remade it and with like modern stuff.
But don't do the digital shark. Do a proper mechanical one again.
Make a better remote one.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. So Outlaw Cox asks, what is your favorite relaxing getaway? How does Leon
Anywhere in the country I like getting away to, anywhere in the mountains. Here in Australia, they've got a good place called the Blue Mountains, and there's a place called Jenolan Caves. If you look it up, Jenolan Caves, and down there you go through this cave to drive through it to get there. When you come out the other side, there's this big hotel. It looks like a haunted fucking thing, like from The Shining. So it's just like this thing, and during the day you go on these cave tours. There's so many caves you can go on to see all the stalactites and stalagmites and underwater rivers and shit. But yeah, you just go there, they've got the big open fires there, and you can just go bushwalking during the day. They've got this pond, they call it a blue pond because the water from the caves come out, and because it's full of these crystals, when the sun hits it, it just glows blue and that. So there's kangaroos. But, yeah, places like that, I just like to go and relax. Things like that in nature and bush. If I ever moved out of this place, I'd buy a place out in the country. Yeah, because here where I live, you can go 20 minutes north or whatever, and you're in the country. So if you need to go to town for something, it's not far. So I was looking at a place yesterday online. There was this huge, big shed. And inside the shed, they made, like, the kitchen and bathroom. They put another mezzanine level for the bedroom. They open the roller door, and you're overlooking the country and the mountains. You've got a creek that runs through your property and stuff. Nice. I think Now, that would be a nice place just to chill out and relax.
Yeah. Yeah, I would prefer a similar setting. We're actually looking at houses. We got approved recently.
Don't do it.
I know. So yeah, that's pretty much all the listener questions that I picked out. But I went to Florida. It was
That's right. You went to see your mom.
Yep. It was good. The travel was better than I've ever experienced it, because the airports were less busy. The planes were half empty. So it was very quick and easy. Like it was very, like I think people are still afraid to travel, but, it was fine.
Look, you didn't get COVID-19.
Yeah. You? Imagine that. neither did any of the Walmart workers or anyone. It's crazy. But, on the way home, I didn't wear my mask at all on the plane. They didn't say anything. No one gives a shit.
That's the thing. It's like, I got friends in England. They are still complaining that in England, the gyms aren't open, and some places are here in America still. I'm thinking, I said, shut up complaining. Everyone that has a gym, just fucking open it. And if you get a fine or get closed, get a class action lawsuit, because how can you have shopping centers open, restaurants open, bars are open, you can protest, you can fucking riot, all these things you can do, but you can go to a beauty parlor, nail salon, you can do all this shit, you can go to some sporting events now even, but you can't go to a gym. So if you had a good lawyer, how the fuck could they say you can do all this shit, but you won't get it? But going to the gym where you have antiseptic wipes, spray bottles, your towel, how could you get it there? How could you get to the gym more than a supermarket or public transport where people sit on the bus picking their nose and touching shit and stuff like that? Like, if you had a lawyer and did a class action lawsuit, there's no way they would fucking win that, because they couldn't justify why your business gym has to be shut, but everything else is fucking open.
Yeah. It's really annoying that there's so many examples of stuff just like that, that like that objectively don't make sense and are not reasonable, but everyone continues to do them. Like, why are we following these nonsense rules? Like you said, I'm pretty sure every fucking gym owner in America thinks their gym should be open. So fucking open them. There's nothing they can do. What are they going to do? What are they going to do if all the gym owners just open? Like, it's up to us. It's not up to whoever's running shit. Come on now.
And here's an idea. If you are worried about getting COVID by the gym being open, don't go to the fucking gym.
Don't go.
It's that easy. It's like, oh, I don't get it. And I said, if you had a good lawyer, you do a class action lawsuit, they wouldn't hold up, because how can you say, well, you can go to the store, you can go to the pub, you can go protest with thousands, but if you go to a gym with 20 people, you'll get COVID. Fuck off. That's like,
especially if you do limited capacity or whatever, which is ridiculous anyways, because again, it's just ridiculous.
But when you think about it, for people's health, mental health and shit, they should be fucking open. What's the problem?
Yeah.
How many times do you go to a grocery store they say they wipe them down, but they probably don't. How many times do you grab a shopping cart that someone's probably had during the day and touched and doorknobs? And it's like, but you can't go to a gym and do a set and wipe your bench down with fucking antibacterial stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be bringing out that new company that sponsors me now, the Abundant Health. I do that like magnesium drink thing. It helps your sleep and helps inflammation and stuff of your joints.
Yeah.
They're going to bring back the old, remember the good old liquid chalk?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that doesn't make a mess. So it's going to have the liquid chalk with the alcohol. So it's a antibacterial for your hands as well as gripping. And it's going to be called like Lee Priest Power Grip.
Nice. It's a good idea. Get two birds stoned at once.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
You just give a bird a joint, get them stoned.
Yeah,
two at once. You know, bird, you know what they say, a bird in the hand shits on the wrist.
So I do want to talk about you living with Paul Dillette a little bit. I have questions. I know you've said some things about it, but Paul Dillette is like this character that is known for being a complete freak of nature. And there's also, there's kind of, there's some stories about him, like that he literally barely trained. His cardio was laughable. What was he like as far as that goes? Like, was he really, really loose with everything he did and he was a freak anyways? Or was he, like, what was he eating like and stuff like that?
He's very, let's just say he's very relaxed and laid back, Paul. Not lazy, but just, because I'd get up and do my cardio early, go to the gym early, I'd come home and he's just getting up. Sometimes in the morning I'd get up for cardio, because he actually split from his wife, and I think he wanted to stay with some of his other friends, but they wouldn't let him. So I said, Paul, come stay with me. So he was with me for about 8 months, and we actually got ready for the 98 Olympia living together. And I'll tell you a funny thing about that was, remember those Edamame's fat-free cakes?
Oh, yeah.
Fat-free. We used to buy them. Yeah, the fat-free cakes, Edamame's. So I used to buy one for me, one for Paul, put it on the fridge, and I'd eat at the chocolate moist one. It was great. And I'd eat, as the contest got closer, I'd still buy two, but I'd throw mine in the garbage, and Paul would say, did you eat your son? Because he'd always call me son. I say, yes, father, I ate mine. He goes, oh, well, I better eat mine. So I was feeding Paul chocolate cake before the show. I'll eat mine. So, but then some mornings I'd come down, because he'd eat, Ronnie, he'd have all his chicken breasts and sauce. I had my bike downstairs to do cardio. I'd be walking across the carpet. I'm like, what the fuck's that? I'd turn the light on, there's fucking sauce on the ground, because Paul would spill it, but he wouldn't clean it up to the fucking next day or two. There was another time, like I said, it's very relaxed. I came home from the gym one day and he had a girl visiting, and because our bedrooms are upstairs, so I go to the top of the stairs, there's his room, his bathroom off it, then another bathroom to my room down there. So as I'm walking past the door, I'm like, what's that? So I back it up a bit. Here's Paul laying there on the bed, sound asleep, snoring. He's got his girlfriend sitting on the bed with a bucket of water, fucking shaving him while he's fucking sleeping. I'm God. Fucking hell, I've seen it all now.
That's awesome.
And then after that, after the Arnold Classic one time, he must have been 98, because he was with me for the Arnold up to the Olympia. He got sick. I think that's the year he got sick and cramped, or one of them, but he came home early. And then I was talking to his girl. He's like, Ollie, you wouldn't believe it when I got there. Because he got home one day, that sick, he fucking threw up everywhere in the bathroom, but he didn't clean it up. He left it for her. So she came a day or two later. It was interesting. But Paul too was sponsored by Body Alive and Hotskins at the time. Yeah. And he had the nice Mercedes. I had the 840, 850 BMW, and I had like the two-door slant one. So he would park downstairs and go to his trunk after a workout, and that he just like whatever sweaty clothes he had on, he just throw it in the trunk and wouldn't wash them. And then at the end of the week, he'd just toss them away and go back to Body Alive or Hotskins and get some more clothes rather than do laundry. He was just fucking.
It
was always entertaining. Then getting ready for the 98 Olympia, and this is true, I can actually say, Paul didn't take anywhere near what people said. The most taken growth, I think, it takes 6 to 8 IUs a day. The one time he took 16, I think, because it was in the thing, it's like he had a one pin left. He goes, oh, fuck it, might as well take it all at once. But I can tell you now, I would do, that's when you do like Winstrol or Stanozol every second or third day.
Yeah.
I had my coffee table, it had a Superman bowl on it. Would load our syringe up and sit it there. He's like, you're going to have yours today? I'm like, I can't be bothered. And he'd sit there for 3 or 4 days. We wouldn't take it. So we're never really regimented on taking gear. He didn't take us anywhere near what people said, because I'd see him take it every day. People go, well, he took more when you weren't watching. I said, fuck off, he'd take it there in the lounge room. But he didn't like doing too much cardio. He actually preferred clenbuterol. So I'd come home, and even if it was a bit cool outside, I'd come in, he'd have the air conditioner cranked up. He'd be sitting there with the towel around his neck, sweating. He goes, ooh, I think I took too much clenbuterol. I'm sweating.
Damn.
Yeah, it was always fun times, entertaining.
did you notice? Were you at any point when you lived with him? Were you ever like, damn, this guy is a freak, or did he seem kind of like an?
I first saw him in the gym, like when I first started going to Gold's, I'd see him in the gym with those. Think Perfetto clothes, you know, those Perfetto clothing, the skin tight tops, and you see his delts and his fucking arms hanging out. But I think it's like anything. After a while of living together, it's just like, it's Paul. So I just get used to seeing him. That sort of, you know, once you see someone every day, it's just like, okay, that's Paul. You know, but then if I saw him at a contest or in magazines, I'd still sit there and go, oh, fucking hell, look at his arms and shit and this and that. So, or if he was like getting close to the show and he had his tights on, you see, he's good for a, for a black guy, now that's not being racist, but he had great fucking quads and hammies and fucking calves. He had like
crazy.
A lot of some black guys might have good quads and hammies, but no calves. Paul had the fucking complete leg development and everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was like fucking incredible. Yeah.
His legs were nuts. You know what's funny? Body Alive, you mentioned. Body Alive is a gym in my hometown now, owned by Bob.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. In New York, in central New York. He owns like a kind of like a hardcore gym right in Utica, like right in the city, basically. He's local. Interesting. I met him one time, and he it was probably 5 or 6 years ago. He was talking about back in the day in Venice. He hobnobbed with you and all the boys.
Yeah, he used to have he had a Body Livestock. Yeah, we had the Firehouse Restaurant. Just like a couple of doors down was the Body Alive store. Then you had the Hot Skin store and that. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And it was actually a Perfetto store too. That Perfetto had good clothing and stuff. So, yeah, pretty much the three outlets were right there. Then around the back street, you had Max Muscle.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, the good old days, Jeff. The good old days.
Anything else notable about? How often did he have girls over?
Not that often, no, because you'd always just have that one girl that would fly in. But generally, it's just Paul and I there. We're just into training and going to eat. We never trained together. We trained sometimes in the afternoon. I trained the same time as him. I went back and then would go to the Firehouse and hang out. Then across the road to Sparky's non-fat yoga and stuff. But then just sit at home and watch TV and chill out and stuff. So, yeah.
Did you ever train together?
No. We went on the European tour. Like I was getting third, Paul was getting fourth, and then I think I beat him at most of the European shows, and I was getting third, he'd get fourth, then he might have got fourth, third, then I got fourth. But he was like, well, finally got to, I think it was Budapest, and Wayne D'Amelio hooked up with this clothing company called Uncle Sam's Clothing, where I think this guy paid D'Amelio money to have us go to the store, and Paul and I were eating fucking Chinese with Vince Taylor and stuff, and they're in the restaurant. And like, come on, guys, you got to go downstairs to the bus. And that Paul's like, oh, I don't want to do this. He goes, son, let's not go. We had two pro shows left to do. Let's not go, son. I said, okay, let's not go. So we're just sitting there eating. Fucking NASA comes back up. Wayne says you must get down on the bus. Paul says, well, I'm not coming. So we didn't go. So let's just say the last two shows, I think I got 9-foot-1. Let's just say our placings went bar.
You just ended up going and eating whatever the fuck you wanted.
Yeah, well, it started in, I think, when we finally got to the fourth show in England, we're like, fuck this dieting shit. So we just found a Hungry Jack's type thing and started having hamburgers. And Milos at the time was like, what are you guys eating? We're like this. And Milos, we're still beating Milos. And Milos is like, oh, fuck, so he's taking more diuretics. And he's getting mad because he's taking more diuretics. And in Helsinki, it was like me and Vince Taylor and Paul found a good Chinese shop. So now we're eating Chinese. Milos is still eating chicken and rice and diuretics, and we're still beating him. He's like, what the fuck? And then at, I think it was Budapest, where we got to this restaurant. They made us chicken and potatoes, but it was sort of like fried chicken, but we still ate it, and some boiled eggs. So Paul and I and that were like, let's have some chocolate cake. So we had chocolate cake, and we're like, hey, let's send NASA a piece. That'll be funny. So we had the waiter, can you take a piece of chocolate cake to that guy over there? Well, fuck me. NASA did not find that funny. NASA fucking stands up. Who did this? Who did this? Who sent this to me? You think this is funny? I'm trying to diet. And Paul fucking start cracking up laughing because fucking NASA lost his shit. He must have been on the edge where he wanted to eat something, but he couldn't. So as soon as his waiter puts his big piece of chocolate cake in front of him, fuck, he lost his shit. Who sent this here? This isn't funny, guys.
NASA was the best. I wish he was still around. Imagine having him on the show. It'd be great.
He's funny. I remember backstage at one of the Mr. Olympias. It could be the 98 one. We did the pee test, and then we came back at the night time. He's like, Lee, come in the pump-up room with me. Come with me. He wasn't racist, but he goes, come with me. Stay away from them black people. Come with me, Lee. That's what he said.
It wasn't racist.
But before we went into the room, all our pee samples are outside the room. It had the names on. Lee Priest, Flex Wheeler, Ronnie Coleman. Because I was testing for diuretics and shit. I said, hey, NASA, let's put Lasix in everyone's fucking piss sample apart from ours. Let's just see if this fucking test is real. And we just started laughing, but we never did. But, but this reporter's backstage, she goes, so I just want to ask you a question. Do you eat a lot? Do you eat much? He just gets fucking flips out. What do you mean, do I eat a lot? What, you think I eat like a bird? What sort of question is this? This is a stupid question. Get the fuck out of here. fucking kicks him out of the room. That's you ask stupid questions. That's a dumb question. Think before you ask. He just fucking lost his shit.
You eat a lot. Yeah. Did you use diuretics for that show that you were tested for?
No, I didn't for that. I didn't for that, but I was using, they were testing for clenbuterol diuretics and that. And for some reason, I had a brain fart, and I was using clenbuterol, so I overfigured they didn't test, or I was using fake clenbuterol because I went, oh, fuck, I didn't stop taking it. And they're testing for it, but I passed the test, so.
I think it would be obvious if you were taking fake clenbuterol. You wouldn't do this.
Yeah. Cramp up. Yeah, so. I gathered by the time we did the pee in the morning, and they're still sitting there at nighttime, the samples, that at the end of the night, they just went down the fucking sink, so.
Yeah. Not surprising. How much clenbuterol did you use?
I used to get the powdered form. I used to take like one teaspoon, but then with the tablets, they were like so many micrograms. It wasn't that much. I only took a small amount. 20 so, maybe. Most two of that. Even a couple of times I took T3. I think T3 come in 25 micrograms.
Yeah.
I used to take just one, and maybe a little bit into the diet, I might have gone up to two and then just back to one and then just take it off. But no, I never went crazy on it.
Yeah. T3 is crazy. Too much thyroid is so, your body just melts away. Everything just melts away. It's crazy.
Well, that happened to Luke Wood that one year. He took so much T3. He looked like a bad amateur. If you find the pictures of him, he was so big and full. Then he took it. I just ate his muscle. And then even a month after the show, he was still like this, like his body never sort of really recovered from it after a while. He took so much. But fitness girls were the worst. I remember Alfie Newman, when I was dating Laurie Donnelly at the time, Alfie Newman was competing, and she took so much of that I think when she stopped, she just went boof, like her body had shut down, producing its own level, that a lot of people, if they take too much, have to stay on it for life because they've shut their own thyroid down by taking too much.
Yeah.
A lot of girls did that.
What was the most weight you ever gained in a rebound? Like in a few days.
So I never went crazy. I'd eat like a lot the night of the show. I remember after one Ironman, it was Mike Christian's birthday. So we went back to my apartment and we had cakes and everything, big birthday cake for him and ice cream cake and all this stuff. I ate that much food. I was laying on the bed like I was going to fucking die. Like my stomach was like this. And my girlfriend at the time just patted my stomach and said, don't you dare touch it. And then I started, how's this though? Because when I throw up, I nearly always, 97 Olympia, I still had like busted eyes. I got food poisoning. And when I throw up, every bit of red in my eye goes red. I just bust the vessels. And but this time I was that fucking full. I'm like puking. My girlfriend standing behind me, she's like, oh my God, because I'm going like that, the pressure so hard, the back of my head split open.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the back of my head, just down here, it's on the base of my head. Because I'm like squeezing so hard, it just went, and there's like, oh fuck, blood. So that's the sickest
one. Holy shit.
But I only have that one night, but generally the next day after a show, I go back to, I used to always just gradually, I'd always do that, go out and buy, I'm going to eat this after the show, I'm going to eat that. I'd have a fucking bedroom, spare room full of chocolates over the bed and cookies and shit. But once the show's over, you don't fucking want it. Just because you can't have it, I'm going to eat that, I'm going to eat this. But then I just went back to normal eating. I generally go back to having like eggs for breakfast and then some fruit salad. And I'd slowly introduce bad food into it rather than just go boom. I've had friends that put on 20 pounds in like 2 days and they can fucking push your thumb in their ankle and they're full of fluid that, you know, some guys go to the hospital because they put on that much water weight, the fucking old ticker.
I've seen like, that. That's like, guys will have like a muffin top. Their sock will create like a muffin top of like ankle and you're like, dude, that is fucking horrible.
I know.
Yeah, that would scare the shit out of me.
Push your finger in, it's just this big indent that doesn't come out.
It's like memory foam.
Even after the 2006 Ironman, I went to, there was a restaurant in Pasadena with Lonnie Tepper and a few mates and stuff. We went down there and I think I just had some spaghetti and meatballs and some garlic bread. The worst thing I found that affected me after a show was because you take a diuretic and you're that sort of dehydrated. I could eat and eat and sometimes I would never have a problem eating a lot of food. But the second I started adding fluid to it, or give me a milkshake, give me water, it seems like all that fluid just went into the food and went. Once I put fluid in there, it's like my fucking stomach expanded. Like the time I ate 36 Krispy Kreme donuts.
36.
Like, yeah, because they were fresh and soft. You can just keep shoving them in. But I was okay. Once I had a drink of milk on top of it.
36 Krispy Kreme donuts. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get them when they're soft, though, they're just like mashing nothing.
Yeah.
They're so soft and.
Right. Right. Yeah. They go down like nothing.
time.
What are you doing now? Are you still getting leaner? You're on your way back up?
Just staying where I am. I'm just staying where I am now. Like yesterday, I had 2 GM filled donuts, some ice cream, but then I just do cardio. So I'm just keeping it where I am by doing a bit of cardio. You know where I used to make myself sick was at Columbus, Ohio. The day before the show, I'd always go to that mall, and there's the fucking Cinnabons. I'm like, oh my God, Cinnabons. So I buy a box of Cinnabons and buy 3 things of the extra fucking icing.
Nice.
So as soon as prejudging was over, I'd heat it up in the microwave, pour that icing on top, and fuck me dead. You've never had a sugar rush till you've eaten like 4 of those big fucking Cinnabons with that extra icing on top.
Yeah.
I go back to the night show at the Arnold. I get the best fucking pump ever. I'm like, woo!
Yeah.
That's why people say, Lee, why are you pumping up so much? Well, fuck it, I got energy to burn here.
Yeah. Got to get through it. Got to get through it all.
But Cinnabons, you can't beat them when they're fresh and hot. Oof.
Right.
And yeah. Especially when you get right to the center of the roll where it's nice and soft and squishy and got lots of cinnamon. You put the icing on it. Oh.
That's true. I haven't had a cinnamon bun in way too long.
No, you should have one.
I know. Maybe I'll have one tomorrow.
Send me a photo.
But what? I will. Well, Lee, that's all I got. What do you? Anything else? Anything else you?
No, that was pretty good. Thank you very much.
There's no.
I almost threw you when I went on about the COVID and the gyms. I knew you were biting at the bit, but you controlled it well. Yep. I'm very proud of you. I'm proud Thank of you. You held back.
Yeah. I have to show more restraint.
Don't start. Just let it
go. I won't. I'm going to let it go. It does drive me nuts. But that's all we have. I mean, next time we're going to put a Q&A up, and we'll do like I don't know what the word is. The Q&A will be more time accurate. It'll be right after, because these questions were from several weeks ago probably. Oh.
Then people are sitting there going, fuck you, cunt, you didn't answer that's my question.
Because I cocked over the last show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it. Comment, like, subscribe.
How hard is it sometimes you think where you get callers to call in? Is that hard to do? Or?
You have to ask Scott.
Because that's live, isn't it? That'd be pretty much a live show, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could still do it. Maybe
if you said ahead of time, listen, we want to get a few people on, but what you do is maybe if they have Skype, they send their Skype name in.
Yes.
And then you could just call them on Skype while we're talking and add them into the conversation. Say, this is the show. This is the day the show's going to be on. Let them know ahead of time. You might get some loonies, but hey, it'll be funny.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Let us know. Pick, let us know.
Yeah.
If you guys pick
3 people. Yeah.
Let us know if you guys think that's a good idea. And you know.
Or instead of Skype, do we have to go to Zoom? Because everyone's using Zoom, Jeff.
Yeah, it's Skype. I know.
Skype, so yesterday. We're using Zoom now.
Yeah. we talked about it. Scott and I talked about it in the beginning, but it turns out Skype is a better option.
I've always used Skype, but it just seems like Zoom. Zoom came out when COVID came out. So I think by downloading Zoom and doing Zoom, they're watching you.
Yeah.
Jeff. Let it go. Let it go, Jeff. Don't say anything. Let it go. It was just an observation I brought up. It's not for discussion, okay? Let it go.
If that's the case, then Zoom probably wouldn't be too happy with everything
like
you
I'm,
say.
It's like I'm throwing that line out to Jeff.
Yeah. You got me fucking. But all right, everyone.
Thank you very much.
For Lee Priest, I'm Jeff Roberts, Renegade Muscle, episode 4. And we are out.